night. We had a fish fry over here last night, and we tried to show the love of Christ, those two young boys, and they come, and we fixed a plate for them, and they asked if we'd fix a plate for their grandmother, and we did, and there's just so much you can do. I'm like you, I want to see the world saved, but the world's got to want to get saved before I can help them to get saved. I showed this picture this morning, and I showed it again tonight. And this is the man that told me how to be saved. But let me say, I wanted to be saved. I looked this man up. I mean, I run him down. I said, hey, I need to get saved. I'm going to hell. And I was right for the picking. He told me the good news. He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you. He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you. He just waiting for you to ask him. How true that statement was, I didn't know it at the time. But I have to admit, April 27th, 1988, when I did ask the Lord to save me, I found Him right there. I found Him not very far from me, not very far from any one of us. I found Him a God ready to save, ready to pardon. And He did abundantly pardon me. And even though the devil's tried to talk me out of it for 24, going on 25 years, it's still well with my soul. The anchor still holds, and I'll tell you, it's a sure foundation. That foundation of Christ. Amen. The Bible says if any man build on any other foundation other than that foundation of Christ, it's wood, hay, and stubble. There's going to be a lot of wood, hay, and stubble going to show up in the last days. It ain't going to stand the test of time. But I thank God for that precious foundation, that chief cornerstone, that rock of stumbling, buddy. This world don't want nothing to do with Him, but He wants something to do with them. Amen. All right, has anybody got a special song on your heart tonight? If not, we'll be taking our text out of Hebrews. You can be opening up your Bible, if you would please, to Hebrews. I think Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read about 6 verses there. And the Lord stirred our heart early this morning. And I'd like to try my best to preach what He's put on my heart about these scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 2. What words God penned the word. The Bible said, for the scriptures came not by the will of man, but by the will of God. It said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's what Peter said. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And this word, it's steadfast, it's sharp, it's unmovable. And we'll be looking to the Word of God tonight. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Therefore we ought to give a most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just compensation of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? That's our text verse. We want to stop our reading right there. I'd like to read a little more, but we'll stop right there. I want to preach tonight that He's mindful of us. And y'all pray for me tonight, please. Father Lord, we thank You for the infallible, inspired, incorruptible Word of God. Lord, we do well to take heed unto this Word as a light that shines in darkness. We do well, Lord, to run to this Word and spend time in it. I thank You, Father, for those that do. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would lead us in the great truths and the treasures that's in between the pages of this blessed book. Lord, I pray, Lord, we'd have a love for it and we'd look upon it. And Lord, I pray, Lord, when you come, you'd either find us, Lord, reading or telling someone about the precious Word of God, or Lord, praying, Father, for understanding that we might be able to partake of it. And we just pray, dear Father, even tonight, that you would open our eyes with eyes save and eyes of our understanding. Lord, we may be able, Lord, to look, Lord, and see as you see and know as you know the things of the Word of God. I pray, Father, for that tonight. May you enlighten us. May you help us, Lord, tonight. Lord, if there be one in our midst tonight that's not a believer, never come to the saving knowledge of the Son of God, I pray, dear Father, tonight that would be the night, Lord, that Satan would lose his grip and they'd break loose and run to those everlasting arms that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And I believe we're coming up on that day. And Lord, truly, Lord, the Bible's being fulfilled, every jot, every tittle. It's scary in one way and a blessing in another way. I pray the urgency of the hour be upon this night, this service. And we'll thank you and praise you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This scripture that's mentioned here tonight actually comes from Psalms chapter 8, verse number 4. And it's mentioned word for word, just like it is here in the book of Hebrews. A lot of people don't know this, but the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Most of the things, almost all, that you find in the New Testament come from the Old Testament. They've been expounded upon and brought more clear in the New Testament. But He's mindful of us. And you may not think of Him when you get up. You may not think of Him when you lay down. You may not think of Him when trouble comes. But let me say that He thinks on you. And I've tried to entertain that thought that God thinks on me. I was at Lowe's. I think it was Friday morning. And as I walked out of Lowe's, I walked out, it was a beautiful day like today's been. I saw two men there looking at lawnmowers, and I said, it's a beautiful day, ain't it? And they said, yes, it is. And I really wanted to say, I bet you didn't get up this morning thinking about the Lord, did you? I really wanted to do that. I did. I don't always obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't always obey. I have it in my heart to witness to everybody to stand still long enough or run them down. I don't care. I have it in my heart to do it. I don't always do it. Seem like I'm more or less going 90 miles an hour, going nowhere in a hurry, doing nothing. But we probably would be a whole lot better off to run the race with patience, slow down, walk in a different way, not according to the course of this world like the devil, to and fro, but rather be more precise in our directing and leadership of what we're doing during the course of a day. But there's never been a day that's ever been that God wasn't thinking upon you. Even though you don't think upon Him, maybe I don't think upon Him, He's always thinking on us. And on the cross, I preached about the cross this morning. On the cross, He was thinking about us. And when He uttered those words, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. Somebody wrote a song, said, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. But just to entertain the thought tonight that God is mindful of us, that He thinks on us, and that He cares about us. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. But I want you to know, I want to comment a little bit tonight on what the Bible says about God's thoughts about us. In Psalms chapter 40, verse number 17, the psalmist said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Yeah, I tell you what, buddy, that's a blessed verse. Yeah, and I mean, buddy, the day and I we're living in, when they're robbing you of all that you got, you don't know it, but they are, they're robbing you. And they're taking things that you worked for and things that you laid up for years. They're taking them all. Margaret's been canning all year long. She wouldn't like it if somebody come in her house and got all her canned stuff and left with it. And she worked hard to put that up. But they come in and say, hey, we got somebody in mind of this. Thank you. And take off with it. Be like what I'm talking about. But they're literally taking things that we've worked for. Men have worked hard that we might be able to say that we have freedom, that we're a people that have liberty, and our country's been pretty much duped even right now. And I'm telling you, buddy, when you get down to the point that you realize they took everything that you had, you can remember this. He said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. I'm glad He thinks about me, Leah. Nobody else may not know about old Brother Eddie. Been a few times, buddy, I have to admit, I've been down on my knees. And that verse come to my mind that the Lord's thinking about me. You get overwhelmed just at the thought to know that God is thinking about you. The Bible said that He's tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, and He knows the territory. He said the Son of Man have not where to lay His head. I mean, He knows all about it. I mean, buddy, He's been down here. He walked the dusty paths of this world. But He invites your thoughts. He mentioned there in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. God's a reasonable God. He said, let's talk about it. Hey, listen, He's open for discussion. You know, most of us, we want to give somebody a piece of our mind, but the Lord said, let's reason together. He said, I don't care what the problem is, let's talk about it. We'll work it out. I'll help you. The Bible said He's a very present help in time of trouble, but we'll go everywhere. I might have slowed down a little bit here tonight. We'll go everywhere, but to the Lord. That woman had that issue of blood. The Bible said she saw many physicians, suffered many things. Grew nothing better, but rather worse. And I don't know why or who directed her, but she had it in her heart. She said, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, she said, I know I'll be made whole. And the Bible said she pressed through the crowd that was thrown in Him. Wherever Jesus was, there was a crowd. There was a crowd even at the crucifixion. But anyway, she pressed through that crowd, the Bible says, and she touched the hem of His garment, and as soon as she touched the hem of His garment, she was immediately made whole. No doctor bill. No side effects. Nobody even knowed it. But Jesus. The Bible said He knew it. And He turned about and He said, who touched me? And Peter said, Lord, the multitude thrown you and you asked who touched you? He knew what He's doing. The Bible said when that woman saw, she wasn't hid. You know what that means, Leah? That means He said, who touched me? And looked straight at her. And she said, Lord, I believed that if I could just touch the hem of Your garment, I'd be made whole. And He said, go in peace. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, buddy. There have been a few times I've made my way to Him, Brother Melvin. There's been a few times, but I found out I didn't have to go no further. Y'all may not go through what I go through, but I found out, buddy, when I do go through calamities and troubles and trials, I've got to get to Jesus. If I get to Jesus, I found out, but I don't have to go no further. He's not just got what I need, but He'll give it all. Amen. And He gives me peace. He gives me blessings. He gives me, I mean, strength. David said by Him, he said, my hands have broke a bow of steel. Man, I tell you what, there's a few times, but these old hands, I said, Lord, man, I'm 50, going to be 59 years old in February. For what it's worth, Margaret's got a birthday coming up this month. Anyway, you know, David said, he said, I've been young, now I'm old. He said, I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. But I'll tell you what else he said. He said, by the Lord. He said, I've run through a troop. By the Lord. He said, my hands have broken a bow of steel. I'm telling you what, you look at old Caleb, he won that mountain. And I tell you what, he made this statement. He said, y'all remember when I went in that land, spied out, he said, I was 40 years old. He said, I'm 80 years old today, and I'm as strong today as I was the day I went in the land. Don't tell me serving Jesus don't pay. Amen. You go ahead and go to the psychic and go ahead and go to whoever. I'm going to run to Jesus as hard as I can go. Amen. But I'll tell you what, buddy. He invites you to come and converse with Him. And I'll tell you what, you don't need to give Him peace of your mind. You don't need to charge Him foolishly. He said in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. I tell you what, for 34 years, I thought God was my enemy. I don't want everybody to know that. But I thought He was my enemy, and I've been running from Him. I mean, I run from Him like running from a bear. And I thought, man, if I ever give the Lord my heart, then my life's going to be over with. I didn't have a life, Brother Bobby. I just had an opportunity for a life. And it was only until I got to Jesus that I started living. I was... Amen. I was alive, but I was dead at the same time. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was as good as already dead, Brother Alvis. But I'll tell you what, that one I thought was my enemy. Boy, I'll tell you what, he gave me what I needed. Amen. Gave me an extreme makeover. I looked in the mirror and it couldn't show it. I couldn't hide it. But I wished I'd got to him sooner. I had a wrong impression of him. I didn't realize his thoughts about me was good. I thought, man, he won't take all my fun away. I remember my grandfather when I was 18 years old. I know people don't like me using an analogy of me. I don't know who else to use that'll offend someone. And mine's pretty rough, but I'll use it. But I was sitting there 18 years old with a past blue ribbon in my hand. And I saw my godly grandfather coming up the backyard down there. He lived down below me down there. And I saw him coming. And I thought, well, I was like me and Brother Melvin out on visitation one day. I saw a woman beside a house, a young lady smoking a cigarette, and she saw me get out of the car and walk over, and she put that cigarette behind her back and the smoke come up her back. That's about what I did. It's too late. So I just sat there with that beer in my hand. My grandfather come up there and he said, "Horsefly." He said, "I sure wish you'd get saved." And I looked at my grandfather. His glasses was about an inch thick. His eyeballs looked like two eggs. They was real big because he's real bad of sight. But I tell you what, even if he hadn't had them glasses on, buddy, you could see the tears trickling down his cheeks. He said, "Horsefly, I sure wish you'd get saved." And I'm sitting there in my filth thinking, well, maybe someday Papa is, but not now. I'm just 18, maybe when I'm 81, but not today. But I broke his heart. I said, "Maybe I will someday, Papa Ed, but not today." And I'll never ever forget what he said. He said, "Well, Horsefly," he said, "if you ever change your mind," he said, "I don't care what day it is. I don't care what hour of the day it is." He said, "You come down to my house and I'll personally introduce you to Jesus." And buddy, when he told that to me, I don't know why I thought this. I thought, well, anytime I want to, I can get saved. Now, you know, a lot of people think like that. A lot of people think, well, you know, when I want to, I can get saved. It's not exactly like you think. You know, if I was here and I was lost, I'd be seeking the Lord already. And I know one thing, he's a reward of those that diligently seek him. And I did get saved, but it was like, what is 1834? It was like, what'd that be, 16 years difference, Mary? 16, 18, ain't that 34? 16 years later, I got saved. And let me say this, during that time, that blessed saint of God, my grandfather, passed away. And when he passed away, I remember the crushing blow that was to me when my mother told me my grandfather passed away. I thought the only person that even cared about my soul is now gone. And that's kind of like Paul said in that shipwreck, all hope of being saved was then taken away. But the one that put me on my grandfather's heart, he never gave up. And he kept reaching out to me. And even though I'd bite that hand, even though, but I blame God for everything, didn't go right. His thoughts about me was good. He didn't even have a bad thought about me at all. Man, I'm telling you what. He said, "I know my thoughts that I have toward you. Thoughts of peace." He wanted me to have peace. He said, "Not evil, to give you an expected end." He's not your enemy. He's your friend. He knows the thoughts that we think about him. Genesis chapter 18, verse 12 through 13, God's telling Abraham that he's going to have a son. The Bible said that Sarah laughed within herself. And God heard it. And he said, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh?" And you know how it is, you get caught. She said, "I didn't laugh." And God said, "Yeah, you did laugh." And to know that God knows my thoughts is kind of a scary thing. Now, I don't know what Brother Alvis is thinking right now. He don't know what I'm thinking. We look at each other and not really no concern. But can you imagine if I knew your thoughts tonight? Can you imagine if I knew what you was thinking right now, and you knew what I was thinking right now, we'd all get all red-faced and embarrassed and thinking, "Good Lord, what in the world?" But you know what? He knows our every thought, and He loves us. He knows what the problem is. We don't. We think, well, you know, I'm going to do better. I'm going to get better. Some kind of self-reformation. When I get cleaned up one of these days, Brother Eddie, I'm going to start living for God. Listen. That day's never going to come. As a matter of fact, it's probably going to go the other direction. And the only thing keeping you from ending up in hell, He's standing between you and hell right now. And He's the obstacle between you and hell, and you better thank God for it. But Sarah lieth within herself, and God knew it. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 4, it says, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts," and that's also mentioned again in Luke chapter 11, verse 17. And the Bible says in Psalms 115, verse 12, that the Lord hath been mindful of us, and He will bless us. And, you know, God, He's the best thing this country's got. And for some reason or another, they're trying to dismantle this country's godly heritage, trying to rewrite history, trying to say that there is no God, trying to say that we don't need God, trying to strip all the landmarks, all of the milestones, all of the significant things that have been carefully put in place. And they're trying to remove God from the scenery. And we've been trying to remove God out of the picture. It's almost like we want the blessing without the blesser. I learned this week. There's a politician I don't have much use for. Most politicians, I think most of them, they don't want to hear this, but I think most of them are just actors playing the part. But this one, he's a congressman. His name is Paul Brown. It's spelt unusual. I guess I'll ever forget his last name, because his last name is spelt B-R-O-U-N, like the word noun with a B on it. But Paul Brown said that this week he come out boldly, and I mean he didn't whisper, he come out boldly. And he said evolution is a lie from hell, and the Big Bang Theory is a lie from hell. And he's also a scientist, and he said all scientists know this truth, but he said they won't admit it because their pocket is padded by peddling this lie from hell. But he's pretty bold. I like this guy. I'm having my eye on him. I wish we had a bunch like him, amen? Man, that was pretty encouraging that a man would stand up in a prominent position, in a position like he's in, a congressman, and he said the Big Bang Theory and evolution is a lie straight out of hell. Well, let me ask you this. If that's true, why are we teaching that? Tell me that. But we've been trying to take him out of the picture. He's been trying to bring us into the picture, and that picture is eternity. And he calls out, and he says, "Come to me." And I don't know why there ain't a stampede. I don't know why people ain't wrecking their cars and pulling in ditches and running out of their shoes to get in here, but they don't. And it seems like, you know, it ought to be like that, an opportunity to have a home in heaven, an opportunity to have eternal life. And he's been trying to bring people into heaven, trying to bring them into eternity. And he calls, his invitation is, "Come unto me." And you'd think, well, good Lord, you know, why in the world would someone turn down that offer? I don't know. I don't have the explanation for it. I know I did. I don't really have an explanation other than the fact that I love darkness rather than light. My deeds was evil. Neither came I to the light, lest my deeds be reproved, and I abstained from, you know, all appearance of life. And me and the devil walked for years. I may not have any superficial scars, but I've got some scars inside where I've been hurt, and I've hurt a lot of other people. In walking with the devil, he'll cause you to do things you'll regret later. I remember hurting my cousin one time. I never will forget the look that he looked at me with after I hurt him. And he went home crying. I'll never forget that look to the day I die. He done graduated this life, died a young man. But I knew, boy, I thought, why did I do that? I was bigger than him, full of the devil. I mean, I really hurt him. He barely made it home. I mean, barely could even, he had trouble with his back from that day on, about killed him. Just full of the devil. Oh me, God invites us. He invites us to come. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest unto your souls." And he said, "My yoke's easy, my burden's light." But I'll tell you what, buddy, we won't heed that invitation. We won't come to him. As a matter of fact, he boldly said in John 5:40 that you will not come to me that you might have life. And they'll go anywhere but to Jesus. But He's mindful of us. He's thinking about us. His will, you remember, when the angel announced the birth of Jesus, they want peace on earth. And that angel said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. His will towards us is good. The Bible said He's long-suffering us, not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. The thoughts that God has about us are not like the thoughts we have about Him. But I'm glad He's mindful of me. The Bible said that He never sleeps nor slumbers. The Bible said that He's got us like the apple of His eye. He watches over us and He keeps us. He told Abraham, Genesis 15 verse 1, He said, fear not, Abraham. I'm going to suppose Abraham was afraid. I don't know. But He told Abraham, He said, fear not. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. Let me say this about God. Men have been trying to figure God out. He's past finding out. They've been trying to somehow explain. There's no explaining Him. I'm looking for a verse here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. It says this right here, verse 17. It says, then I beheld all the work of God that a man cannot find out. The work that's done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he cannot find it. Yea, Father, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. I mean, when God does something, buddy, it's done of God that men may marvel. And I'll tell you what, buddy, He's done a work. And He's still working on me. Amen. Bible said in Philippians chapter 1, I think it's verse 16, being confident of this, that He has begun a good work in you, will continue to the day of Jesus. Amen. He's still working on me. I'm a work in progress. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I'm going to be, but I'm gaining ground each and every day. Paul said, I press towards the prize of the high calling of God's in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing along. Amen. But oh, just to think about the thought tonight that He's mindful of you, mindful of me. You may not think about Him. Matter of fact, your thoughts may be involved in other things. But He's not too busy. No matter what time of day, no matter what your issue is, He's got time for you. And that to me, that just overwhelms me to think about God being there for me. Now, I read my Bible a lot, and I'm confounded by some of the things I read in the Bible. Some of the things I read in the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It says all the gold and all the silver is His and the cattle on a thousand hills. And it says all the inhabitants, all the souls are mine, saith the Lord. It said the inhabitants are like grasshoppers in His sight. And some angel asked God, what is man? Sounded to me like a little jealous. I don't know. May have been the devil for all I know. But an angel, the Bible said there in Hebrews chapter 2, that an angel asked God, what is man? That thou art mindful of him. I'm glad, praise God, He's been mindful of us. He's mindful enough of me, Brother Melvin, to visit me when I'm down, to bless me and get me up. He's been mindful of me to come to my need, to my rescue. There have been a few times. I remember at one time I was preaching on the streets of Columbus, Ohio. Man, I'm a small town boy in a big city. To me, I might as well been in New York City. And I went back in an alley. Why? I have no idea. There were some men back there. And the Bible said the righteous are bold as a lion. Well, they're also ignorant. I already know better than go back in there. I went back in this alley out of the sight of all the men I was with. And there were some black men back there, and I started to preaching. And buddy, they came here to come. And here I am. I mean, I'm preaching a nice, easy message. I preached that Luke there where it said he's kind and unthankful. And these black men, one of them would make two of me. I mean, they're twice as big as me. And they circled around me. And if looks could kill Brother Bobby, I'd be a dead man right now. And the circle kept getting smaller and smaller. And I thought, well, as soon as the first one swings, it's over. Because, I mean, they'll engulf me. And there was a young black lady. These men were all great big black men. Looked like they'd be able to be in a football game somewhere. There was a young black lady Leah broke through that circle of men, and she come up to me, little old scrawny, bony preacher. And she said, "Preacher, have you got any tracks?" And I always do have a pocket full. And I had a pocket full, and I handed them to that young black lady. She said, "Can I have them?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I handed them to her. And she told those men, she said, "Y'all come over here and sit down." And I don't know why, but they's like whipped pups. They went over there, and they sat down. That young black lady, she had to be sent from God. Looking back on that, realizing, boy, the danger and the perils I was in, there's no doubt in my mind, God sent her to save me from that moment, boy. And she sat down there right there with them black men. She said, "Now preach, preacher." And I'll tell you what, buddy, she amen the far out of me. I'll tell you, like saying, "Sick of good dog, boy." And I wore it out, but I have to admit, I didn't preach like a priest that day right there. It's almost like, man, God turned me loose and just let me go at it. Amen. But those men that day, even though they didn't want to hear it, and God, you know, He showed Himself to be God there that day. He delivered me from the hands of those men. I've been in maximum security prison, had the same thing. And God intervened and kept those men from killing me. They wanted to. They would have if they could have. But I'm glad the Lord makes a difference. Amen. Amen. And He's mindful of you, mindful of me. Praise God for a God like that. Amen. Now, the world, they got their gods. They got ears they can't hear. They got eyes they can't see. And they acknowledge, boy, their God. But their God's not like our God. Amen. Mighty to save. Mighty. And He's mindful of us. Well, Father, Lord, just a little tidbit tonight that I pray, dear Father, Lord, tonight it might be of some encouragement, Father, to some saint of God or maybe some sinner tonight might be, Lord, cause to consider, Lord, how much You love them. And I pray, dear Father, tonight, not knowing, Lord, what all You've done here tonight. I know my part, Lord, even though, Lord, I've done all I could was brief. I pray, dear Father, tonight, Lord, that there might be something by the unseen hand of God yet to be, manifested. I pray, dear Father, tonight, whatever it may You be glorified in it. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask everyone to stand, please. He's thinking about you. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know our life's but a shadow. Just here for a little while. We pass away. Brother Melvin mentioned about Morris Burton passed away. I mentioned about Wendell Shaw passing away. There's someone right now passing away. But the Bible said there's not a sparrow that falls. But His eye don't see it. And He's mindful of us. Man, oh man, I feel like shouting. But I'll wait a minute. Go ahead, Brother Melvin. Need to come tonight. For the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Really trusting in His gracious hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Washed in the blood, are you? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? By the Savior's side, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Each moment in the crucified, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Bridegroom cometh. He's coming. Pure and white in the blood of the Lamb. Where soul be ready for those mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Come on now. Come on. In the blood. He's waiting. cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hold on just a minute, Brother Melvin, before we sing this last verse. I was foolish to wait on letting the Lord take His proper place on the throne of my soul. I was foolish, lived a selfish life there for 16 years. At the age of 18, God wanted to be my Savior, wanted to be my Lord. And I was foolish to put that day off. And it was of the Lord's mercies that I wasn't consumed and ended up in a place called hell. But you know, tonight down there in hell, people say, Lord, just give me one more chance. I'll get saved this time. I won't linger. I'll get saved. I'll run. But there's no second chance in hell. You know, the Lord, He's patient. He's gracious. His thoughts are good. Thoughts of peace, not evil. But there's another one down here. His name is Satan. And the Bible said he came for one purpose. And that was to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Don't let the devil defeat the will of God. God's long-suffering, not willing you perish. He wants you. He gave Jezebel, wicked she was. He said, I gave her space to repent. We're going to sing this last verse. And I pray by the unseen hand, the nail-scarred hand of Jesus, that you might be ushered up here tonight for His praise and for His glory. He certainly deserves the reward of His suffering. I wish the whole world would get saved. They won't, but I wish they would. I wish there'd be oceans, I mean tidal waves of people flooding in, saying, is it too late to get saved? No. As long as death hadn't come, it's not too late. But I'll promise you this, if death does come, you miss the time of your visitation. Sing that last verse, Brother Melvin. Come on tonight. Side the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? Come on! In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Your heart's beating like a jungle drum. That's not us. That's not me. That's not this song. It's God. In the blood of the Lamb. Boy, I tell you what, I know God's here tonight. I know a whole lot, but I know the Lord's here tonight, and I don't understand how in the world anybody could keep getting saved tonight in a service like this. But it's still not too late. I know we sung the last verse of the invitational hymn. It's still not too late. I was in a service like this one time, and a piano player, the only time I ever heard her testify in her entire life, she testified in that service. Her name was Joyce Gosser. And the service was over just like this one is. And she said, can I testify? And we all fainted. We thought, I've never heard her speak. Brother Rich said, yes, please. My cousin was there and he's a lost man. I had begged him to come and he came and he was yet unsaved. And he asked me, he said, Eddie, he said, if God wants to save me, I want God to do it. I don't want nobody to come to me. I don't want nobody to come talk to me or get me by the hand. He said, if God wants me saved, I want God to do it. And I'm sitting right beside him and I ain't said a word to him. Tears are running down my cheeks, but in my heart I'm whispering, oh God, save Barry. Oh God, save Barry. Save him now. And that piano player said, can I please testify? And Brother Ricky said, by all means, please do. And Joyce Gosser said, my neighbor just died this week. She said he was in the hospital for quite a stay. Said a preacher went out there to see him. And he told that preacher, he said, would you please pray that God would let me live? And he said, if God will let me live, he said, I'll come to church that Sunday and get saved. That preacher fell down. Prayed like a wild man, Brother Alvis. And God was merciful and that man got out of the hospital. And that Sunday came. And that man spurned that opportunity. You know, I don't know what it is about us, but for some reason or other, we don't always do what we need to do. And that man never came that Sunday. This is a true story. And that preacher come to his house on Monday. And he said, I thought I heard you say you was going to come to church if God would let you live. And he said, I'll be there this Sunday. The hearse pulled up at his doorstep the next day. And that next Sunday didn't come. And when she gave that testimony, my pastor having wisdom from God, he said, is there anybody in this service that would raise a hand right now for this purpose that we'd sing one more verse of invitational hymn that they might get saved? And I was there that day. And I remember at the corner of my eye, I saw my cousin's hand go up. And I mean, I lost it. I mean, I done held back as long as I could. The damn bus, I mean, there's tears. I was drowning people three pews away. And he run to that altar, and I went right beside him and slid in there beside him. I couldn't say a word. I did lay my hand on his back. I couldn't say nothing. I mean, it just overwhelmed me. I couldn't get a word out. I couldn't do nothing. All I could do was weep. I mean, I couldn't even believe what I saw. My pastor sat down there, and he said, Barry, what'd you come for? He said, I need to get saved, Brother Rick. And Barry, my cousin, got saved. We went outside, and he told me the most unusual thing I ever heard in my life. I said, Barry, I'm so glad you got saved. He said, I don't know what in the world come over me. He said, I didn't want to raise my hand. All I wanted was a cigarette. He said, somebody raised my hand. I don't know how it went up. But I'll tell you what, I was there the day my cousin got saved. He didn't live too long after that, but I'm glad he got saved. Let me ask, is there somebody here tonight? Brother Eddie, would you please sing one more verse of invitational hymn that I might get saved? Is there somebody here tonight in that manner? We'd be glad to do it. If not, I don't want to waste your time or mine. But I felt led of God to tell that tonight. Is there somebody here? Brother Eddie, would you please sing one more verse of invitational hymn? I'd like to have one more opportunity to get saved. Is there somebody here tonight? I'll let you make that decision. All right, thank you, Brother Melvin. God bless you tonight. Thank you for coming. I love you. And I'm like the Lord. I think about you a lot. I pray to God on your behalf. I mention your name to the Lord. And I only have one desire, to see all saved, see all served, see all satisfied in the salvation that He died to give. And I'll tell you right now, I didn't mention anything that wasn't possible. It might be not possible with men, but it's possible with God. Maybe somebody's got something on your heart tonight. I'll give you an opportunity to testify. We've got about 10 minutes. I know Brother Alvis and Sister Emily need to leave here shortly to go to their church. Boy, I envy them. They get a double blessing. Come by here and get blessed and go over there and get blessed. And man, I'm sitting there thinking, man, I tell you what, boy, they're living life. And I mean, living high on the hog. I mean, that's the way. You can't get no better than that. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody got something on your heart tonight. I'll shut up a minute.
Psalm, I believe, says, best thing I ever did do, lay off the old, put on the new.
Yeah, best thing I ever did do.
I've never been sorry. You know, I didn't give up anything that I wanted back, you know, and I got so much more. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is so much better than anything you'd ever get to offer, you know. And the more I feel His Spirit, the happier I am.
Bless you, Brother Matt.
His presence in our lives, and I like the peace to give. You know, yeah.
Amen.
Try to be honest and truthful.
Bible says, have a conscience, void of offense. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I keep that conscience clear. When He calls, I want to be ready.
Amen. Amen.
And if I get saved for everybody, I would. I'd go that altar myself, you know, but I can't do it. Man, you have to do it yourself.
Well, Brother Melvin said he made the best trade he ever made one day. He said he traded his rags for riches. One day God's going to put royal apparel on Brother Melvin. And then Brother Melvin's going to realize how good a trade he made. The Bible said we're going to rule and reign with Him. The Bible said we've been made kings and priests in Him. I never wore a crown. I don't know, this old head just wasn't made for a crown. But we're going to be crowned. He's going to put a crown on us. And oh, for that day. And it's not far off, Sister Molly. He's going to put that crown on. Glory to God. We're going to realize, boy, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a salvation He died to impart to us. Highest truly has not been told. There's no way we could ever even fathom or even understand the great unsearchable riches that He bestowed upon us. Brother Melvin's right. Make good trade. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. On the grid, I'm like Brother Melvin. On the grid, I got, I wished I'd done it sooner. Amen.
Yeah.
Anybody else tonight, I give you an opportunity, Will. Praise the Lord and leave. I don't sit there like a tombstone.
Well, I praise Him and I thank Him for saving my soul.
Bless you, Sister Molly.
You know, you can live this Christian life. You just have to give up the world things. The world things don't last.
Yeah.
God's things is eternal.
Amen.
It goes on forever and ever. And you can have fun in this world.
Yeah.
With God. Clean fun. And then when it's all over, he'll take you to the best world that you've ever been in.
Hallelujah. I like that. I love him. I thank him. Amen. I love him and thank him every day. Every day ought to be Thanksgiving, I think. Everybody ain't fanatical like me.
He saved you in July.
Yeah.
He put up several years and the last 2 or 3 years he got concerned.
Yeah. Got seeking him.
In this world, you know.
Yeah.
He done a lot of praying and reading the Bible. He was seeking the Lord. And he told him one day, come down there a lot. We'd watch Western movies.
Yeah.
And he'd eat supper with us sometimes. His wife's dead. Wonderful person. She was. And he told me about it. He got saved in him one time. And so I'm so proud of him.
Amen.
You know, and, he went to a better place. You know, and he had a wonderful expression on his face. It just blessed him. Look at
him. Amen, brother. It'll make a difference. My pastor preached a message one time. Jesus makes a difference, and it does. Sure it does.
Yeah.
Amen. I remember being afraid to close my eyes at night to go to sleep for fear that I might wake up in hell. I don't have that fear no more. Man, I pillow my head at night now thinking, man, all the only thing I got to dread, if there is anything, the only thing I could possibly be threatened with is waking up in heaven. Amen. And man, I'll tell you what, I'll take that any time I can get it. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Like Sister Molly said, we can enjoy it.
Never forget one time I went to a funeral home. I don't know this guy, but he lived pretty wickedly, you know. And first I know there made no change. And I went to a funeral, and it scared you. I almost looked at him.
Yeah.
He looked like he had seen something that scared him to death.
Yeah.
And but I'll tell you, I never forget the expression on the man's face. You know, scared to death looked like, you know. He's seen what was coming, no death, you know.
Old song says, oh, what a weeping and a wailing when the lost are told of their fate. It'll be rough.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Sure will.
No,
I got a burn on my arm yesterday, the day before yesterday, just touching my stove and what pain.
Right.
Gee whiz, your whole body. But here, that'll heal.
Right.
There, it won't heal. Your pain will go on and on and on and on.
True. 1 second's too long to spend in that place you just mentioned. And there are people going to spend eternity there.
I talked to Marsh about, you know, eternity, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell him about hell. I'll be forever, no end. And the suffering forever and ever. No way getting out. And he talked about that just here a few days, and that's the day ago, that you can't put a number on eternity, you know,
right.
Forever. Trillions, you write up maybe trillions, but that won't
be. Don't even scratch the surface.
No. Forever. This is serious.
Forever and ever, yeah.
And there's so many people in their life. They don't seem to be concerned. Oh, they're heading for trouble if they don't get saved.
Like sand in an hourglass, we spend our days. But I'll tell you right now, the nail-scarred hand, it reaches out. Do well, take heed. That scripture we read tonight, we do well, take heed. Amen. I love you tonight. Thank you for coming. Pray for you. Pray for me. And we'll all stand. And I ask Brother Bob, if he would please dismiss us tonight.